Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report, kicking off today with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of TF Metals Report. And Craig, I want to kind of recap the overall sentiment that we are seeing in the markets right now compared to just about 6 months ago. 6 months ago, we were talking and it just seemed like everything was going against the precious metals. We had the dollar moving higher. We had the Fed continuing with rate hikes. We had U.S. markets moving higher. We even had interest rates moving higher. And now what a change we are seeing. We're seeing the Fed potentially back away from their hawkish stance. We see weak economic data finally creeping into the U.S. We see a weak U.S. market and we see a volatile U.S. dollar. Now everything seems to be going in the precious metals' favor. However, just like 6 months ago, the argument can be made that the metals, they have a lack of volatility. They're still kind of a boring sector. However, at least now they're boring slightly to the upside. What do you have to say?
Well, Corey, I think it's going to be an exciting year. And I say that from, I guess, the position of, I think, doing a pretty good job last year. And frankly, the year before that, in explaining what was coming. I mean, we now have the Fed's successfully inverted the yield curve. The U.S. economy is demonstrably slowing. Political risk is crushing confidence. So all of the any kind of excitement that, you know, brewed up in 16 and 17 with tax cuts and Trump and all that kind of stuff, that's all going out the window. And now what you're finally seeing is the precious metals complex anticipating what's coming next. And what's coming next is what you and I talked about all last year. I mean, we may have been 4 to 6 months ahead of schedule and talking about it, but the Fed is clearly not hiking rates four times in 2019. They're not going to hike once. In fact, by the time we get into summer, we'll be talking about rate cuts. And maybe by late year, we'll be talking about even more QE. And that is what gold and silver are anticipating. We still don't have any real surge of sentiment and excitement. The shares are up, no doubt about it, but they're not surging yet. And the metals prices are up, but they're just beginning to pick up momentum. I think once institutional investors begin to look around and they see fourth quarter performance of the mining shares relative to the S&P and the outperformance of 25 or 30%, I'd look for that sector to pick up here in the first quarter as well. And frankly, Corey, I think 2019 is going to be the best year since 2010. And the reason I say that is because 2019 is going to look a lot like 2010. And that if you go, anybody who was around in 2010 remembers, you know, we were in the green shoots economy. Things, you know, QE was a one-off that had come and gone. Everything was getting better. And gold was around $1,200 to start the year. Maybe even a little less than that. Silver was around $16 to start the year. And as we went through the first part of 2010, it was up, but kind of sideways. And then all of a sudden people figured out the economy was slowing. QE2 was introduced in the fall of 2010. Silver went from 18 to 48 in 6 months. Gold began to rally, finished the year at 1,400 on its way to 1,900 when kind of we hit a peak level of no confidence in the dollar and U.S. government and government shutdown and debt ceiling debates and a downgrade of the U.S. debt by S&P, all that stuff in the summer of 2011. That's the direction we're headed again. As the Fed reverses policy, the economy slows, people all of a sudden go, wait a second, deficits matter again because the only way we're going to pay for them with falling tax receipts is more QE. And all of the same stew comes back around now here, whatever it is, 9 years later. Are we going to see a similar rally? We'll save that topic for another day. But I think people need to understand that gold is anticipating all of this. And that's why it's moved up exactly as you and I discussed through the 50-day, through the 200-day, specs moving back long, silver now through its 200-day and moving back to 1640. It's everything that you and I talked about all through November and December. And now this year is going to be a lot of fun. I think people need to start nibbling into these sectors so that, you know, if we're right and if the train is leaving the station, you know, that at least got one foot on board before it does.
Hey, there is good reason to be in, I think, some of the good stocks, but that being said, we're not seeing that broad-based recovery. To your point, though, about what could happen in the U.S. and how traders could very quickly switch course and finally realize just how weak everything is, it was interesting to see yesterday on Thursday the flash crashes that happened in some of the currencies in Canada and even in some other countries, where it brought the price of gold in those dollar terms up to, well, some very impressive levels. Does this all just mean that it's safe haven buying, though, in your eyes, Craig?
Well, it's actually algo buying is what it is. I mean, that's just all computer driven stuff when everything crashes at the same time and then gold moves up. But I do think it's worth noting, as you said, I mean, we talk about gold in dollar terms all the time. But here we are today. Gold has made a new all-time high in Australian dollars. Now, I got a lot of people on my site that, you know, are Aussies. I mean, TFMR is a global site. They're pretty happy. I mean, gold's doing exactly what you want it to do, right? But we always focus on the dollar because the dollar is the reserve currency. Well, if Canadian dollars are recovering as well, man, it's just a matter of time until confidence fails in the dollar again and gold and dollar terms make a new all-time high. But I do want to back up and talk about the sector and how a little bit of money and a little bit of institutional fund flow can change things. You know, Apple guided lower back on Wednesday after the market close, and dumped really all through Thursday. Initially, Apple's market share just Wednesday afternoon after hours fell about $60 billion, their total combined market cap. Well, let me lay this on you. Newmont's market cap is $18 billion. Franco-Nevada's $13 billion. Barrick, $16 billion. Goldcorp, $9 billion. A guy, a trader on my site named Matt, pointed this out. Add all those together, what do you got, about $55 billion? So just on some poor forward guidance, Apple loses $57 billion in market cap. That's more than these four miners combined. So you just think, I mean, if you can start to get this outperformance of the miners with the metals versus the stock market, which is certainly going to continue to fall as liquidity dries up, it's not going to take a whole lot of money into the sector to really move the shares quickly. And then you throw in the short covering that comes with it. And we could be looking at, you know, a 2016 type rally, I mean, easily. And again, I mean, sentiment's just as washed out as it was then. I don't know. I think there's plenty of reasons to be excited. Yeah, maybe you don't just dive in at this point. But boy, I like that metaphor I gave you earlier about having at least one foot on the train at this point. That would be the prudent thing to do, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, regarding those majors, they are still stuck, at least the vast majority of them, at very depressed prices. So pay close attention to those, because that is where some, at least, of that generalist money goes into first. But Craig, back to my whole point here is that everything seems to be going in favor of the metals right now. When that happens, the contrarian in me says, you know what, this maybe needs to be tempered a little bit in terms of the moves that we have seen already. I guess what I'm trying to say is this might or probably will not be just a straight shot up. What do you have to say about that time frame wise?
No doubt about that, Corey. You know, we're going to be fought every step of the way by the banks that make the markets on the COMEX. We're seeing that now. Open interest in COMEX gold has risen something like 50,000 contracts in the last 3 weeks, as contracts are just simply created from thin air and sold to the specs they're looking for gold exposure. So that nothing's ever going to move straight up. And of course, you know, from a technical standpoint, things get overbought and RSI gets high and then you pull back. But the trend is clearly up. And it's exactly what we thought it would be in terms of momentum and breaking moving averages and getting these algos to switch from selling the rally to buying the dip. I mean, let me go back a step. You go back to last summer when silver began to crash in June and gold really rolled over as well. There was a moment when the 50-day moving average in COMEX gold broke down through the 200-day. That's a death cross, as they call it. And man, you can look at it. If you plot that with price on the chart, you can see what followed. That's when all these specs began liquidating. We had that massive, never seen before, large spec or managed money net short position that grew because the technical position was so terrible. Well, this rally really began when the 50-day crossed up through the 100-day back in late November. We're up $60, $70 since then. But now the gap between the 50-day, which is rising rapidly, and the 200-day is closing. And by sometime middle of part of this month, you're going to get a bullish cross of the 50-day back up through the 200-day. And the same amount of liquidations that you saw from large specs and managed money and all of the shorts be layered on will now come in on the other side. And so, yeah, it'll be fits and starts, but the trend is clearly higher. And then I think when you factor in how the dynamics of Fed policy and the U.S. economy and the global stresses with the EU banks, I mean, all this stuff is out there. I mean, it's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year. And those that have been patient and that have hung in there, that have added to positions and dollar cost average, whether it's in their physical metal or in their shares, they're going to be rewarded. It's going to be a good year.
Yeah, well, remember, this change in trend really just started happening in October. So it's only been a few months as it has been heading up. So the question is, where does it now top out? Where does it then bottom again? And just how high can it go? And more importantly, when can we get that close above some of those 2017 and 2018 highs for gold? We have started off years good before. Let's see what kind of follow through we can get in 2019. I'm hoping for the best, but still have that kind of time frame for later on this year as more of these stories that go in gold's favor continue to develop. Craig, great chatting with you. Thanks again for taking some time, and hey, very happy new year. Happy to have you back.
Spoken like a seasoned precious metals investor, Corey. No doubt about it. Yeah, happy new year to you too and to everybody at KE Report, and we'll talk to you again next week.